My name is Shannon. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I found victory over codependency and perfectionism.
Hey.
I spent most of my childhood years in Germany, raised by my grandparents. My grandmother showered me with love and took care of me. My grandfather, on the other hand, was very strict, and I lived in fear of him. He would threaten to hit me with a wooden spoon when I was misbehaving, but thankfully never followed through. I liked being with my grandparents, but yearned to be with my mom. I only saw her on weekends when she would mostly party and hang out with her boyfriends. I remember having to walk her home one night from the city fair because she had too much to drink. Strangely enough, I felt close to her then because I was able to help her and felt needed and wanted. I was desperately seeking her love and approval and would later on in life develop a very unhealthy codependent relationship with her. I don't have many good memories of those days, which mostly consisted of feelings of loneliness, fear, and rejection. My mom met my dad in Germany, where he was stationed with the army. They fell in love, got married, and moved to the States away from her family and friends. I was born shortly after that in Los Angeles, California, when my mom was 19 years old. My mom and I moved back to Germany when I was 2 years old following my parents' divorce. My mom and dad were trying to work things out after the divorce. My dad was living back in the States on the West Coast, but returned to Germany a few times to visit. One of the most vivid memories I have of my dad during his stay with us is when I saw him for the last time. I was maybe 2 or 3 years old and sensed that there was something different about the way he was looking at me as he was standing in the doorway to our apartment saying goodbye. He was leaving me behind to go back to the States for good, and it was going to be a long time before I would see my father again. I visited my dad in Oregon once when I was 9 and then again when I was about 12 years old. He was remarried by then, and the visits never really went well. My mom told me the reason we didn't get along is because I was so much like my dad. We didn't have much contact during this time, and he never paid child support for me. So for many years, he was an absentee father. My mom got married again when I was 13 years old to a man in the army that was stationed in Germany. Compared to all the other men she was with before, this guy was actually pretty decent. My new stepfather got orders to go back to the States to be stationed in Georgia. So when I was 13, we moved to the States after much rebelling on my part. I even ran away to stay with a friend for a couple of days. I didn't want to leave my home, my family, and my friends. The move to the States was an extremely difficult transition for me, not knowing the language or the culture. Sure, I learned some English in German schools, but it didn't compare to actually living and growing up here. I was bullied a few times, not knowing how to stand up for myself, and not knowing the language made it even more difficult to fit in and make friends. We stayed in Georgia for about a year and then moved to North Carolina. I met my best friend there and started getting into trouble. I was skipping classes, stealing my mom's car, and hanging around with the wrong crowd. Hey, I was finally fitting in. I didn't get along with my mom or my stepdad, and soon met my boyfriend. I moved in with him at the age of 16 or 17 and dropped out of high school. We were heavy into drugs, drinking, and partying. When I was 19 years old, I found out that I was pregnant. I was devastated and crying as I told my boyfriend about it. What I needed was compassion, encouragement, and support, but got neither. He became psychologically abusive towards me by flirting with another woman in front of me at a party and then laughed at me when I confronted him about it. But mostly, he just ignored me to the point where I thought I had done something wrong. I was very confused by his behavior. I had no one to talk to and felt very alone and scared. Abortion had never even crossed my mind until the day that we were riding in his truck. I remember him finally looking at me after what felt like months of being ignored and telling me that he thinks I should have an abortion. I never knew what he went through during this time since we didn't talk about it, but suspect that his mom had a big part in the decision he made. I had grown close to his mom over the years, so I was shocked when they went as far as threatening to take the child away from me should I choose to have the baby. I was young and naive. The thought to go to my mom never even occurred to me. At that time, My life revolved around my boyfriend and his family, so I readily agreed to the abortion. I wanted everything back to normal. I just wanted him to love me again. We were together for about 3 years. During this time, he asked me to marry him. I said yes. We never did get married, but were engaged for some time when he decided to betray me with my best friend. This was a very painful part of my life. My trust in women and men was shattered, and my heart felt like it was broken into 1,000 pieces. I reached out to my father in Oregon during this time, but all he did was throw money at me. He didn't know what to do with a hurting daughter. I moved back in with my mom and stepdad and was trying to put my life in order. I started attending college, but was still doing drugs and drinking. We eventually moved to Ohio to be closer to my stepdad's family. This time, I didn't mind the move so much. I was ready for a fresh start. I continued attending college in Ohio while working full-time and partying on the weekends. Things were okay for a little while. I had decent friends and a few relationships here and there, but for whatever reason, they never worked out. I started feeling worn and went into a depression because of financial issues. I felt really angry with my dad for not helping me to pay for school and started using food as a way to relieve some of my pain, which then led to isolating myself from others. My dad eventually tried to reconnect with me. He was sending me job postings for Oregon and even offered to help me move. I felt a pull to go, so in the spring of 2003, I sold all my stuff, quit my job, and moved to the Great Northwest. I got a good job in Portland, had a cute little apartment, and things seemed to be going pretty well. On the outside, anyways. Inside was a totally different story. I got away from the heavier drugs, but was still smoking pot, going to parties, and getting involved in sexual relationships, all of which left me feeling emptier and emptier. I thought I had forgiven my dad for all those lost years, but was living in denial about how deep the pain really was. I started having panic attacks and flashbacks from my past, particularly my ex-boyfriend. I was searching for meaning and purpose in my life and felt hopeless and lost. God heard my cries and came to my rescue. I didn't believe in God. I was raised Catholic by my grandmother in Germany, did communion when I was younger, but was never introduced to Jesus. I didn't know that God desires to be in an intimate relationship with us. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I went on a mission trip to Moss Point, Mississippi in October of 2007. After watching Forward Edge on the news announcing that they still needed help with building and restoring houses from the devastation that Hurricane Katrina had caused 2 years earlier. The trip was by divine appointment and changed my life. I held my first Bible in Mississippi at a place called Home for Grace, a rehabilitation center for men. I was moved by the love I felt among all the volunteers there and gave my life to Jesus the day before I was scheduled to fly back home. Once back in Portland, I knew it was time to talk to my dad. We went to the zoo for the first time ever in my life and had a really nice talk. I forgave him that day. I was harboring such anger in my heart towards him for so long, and all of a sudden, like a weight that was lifted off my soul, the anger was gone. Matthew 6:14. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I was on fire for Jesus and wanted to know more about my Savior and this whole new world that was opening up before me. I started attending Sunday services, volunteered with the children's ministry, and signed up for a New Believers Bible study. It was there that I met the woman who would become my spiritual mom and mentor. I joined her community group and started walking with Jesus. One night, one of the men in our community group started talking about abortion and what it does to women. I was taken by surprise, because I never heard anyone put it that way before. I've only ever heard about the loss of life, the babies, never the women. At that point, I still considered myself pro-choice and never really gave much thought to the abortion I had so many years ago. Several days later, a woman shared about her miscarriage at my Bible study, and the pain about my abortion hit me like a tidal wave. I shared my abortion story that night with my spiritual mom and her co-leader. I was heartbroken. A few days later, as I walked into church for Sunday service, I was greeted by baby bottles everywhere. PRC, Pregnancy Resource Center, was there for the Sanctity of Human Life Week. I honestly wanted to run out of that church, run away from the pain. I stayed, and God began his healing work in me. That day, I found out that my baby had a heartbeat at 8 weeks old when I decided to have the abortion. I was devastated and realized I needed help. I signed up for PRC's post-abortion Bible study for women called HEART, Healing Encouragement for Abortion-Related Trauma. The HEART Bible study was the hardest thing I ever had to do and my first experience with spiritual warfare. The enemy did not want me to be free of the guilt and shame that was keeping me from being who Christ created me to be, and I went through a very dark time in my life. I had thoughts in my head that had never been there before about hurting myself and committing suicide. These thoughts scared me. God gave me a verse during this time from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He gave me strength and courage to face my past and blessed me with 2 godly women that prayed for me and supported me through this rough time in my life. We were asked to name our babies and write a letter to them near the end of our HEART Bible study as part of the healing process. As I started writing the first words, God gave me a vision of my son in heaven. I named him Jonathan Michael. He was a young adult, maybe 19 or 20, with brown wavy hair, dimples, and a sweet smile. He looked absolutely radiant. We were also asked to do a before and after collage of our journey through the HEART Bible study. Sometime after I finished my after collage, God wrote Jonathan's name in the sky with clouds for me to see when I was on my way to work one morning. I couldn't believe my eyes. I believe it was God's way of assuring me that Jonathan is in heaven, that he is watching over him, and that one day I will get to see him. A few years later, I came to celebrate recovery for the first time. I was struggling in my relationships, especially with men. I was having trust issues and was still in pain over what my ex and best friend did to me, and really angry that I wasn't able to let it go. It's true what we say here at CR, time does not heal all wounds. I didn't want to live in my past anymore and wanted to pursue healthy relationships with men and women. Principle 5 says to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. I've had to work on a lot of unforgiveness in my relationships. I looked up the word forgive in a dictionary because it's been such a huge part in my recovery. To forgive is to grant pardon for something or someone, remit a debt, and my favorite, cease to resent. The resentments I had towards those who hurt me put me in a place of pride and self-centeredness, of judging others and controlling behavior in order to be accepted and liked. By working through a few step studies and coming on Wednesday nights, I've been able to accept who I am. I've learned that I don't have to be perfect or have it all together, and that failure isn't the end of the world, but part of growing in him and trusting that when he closes a door, another one will open. The friendships I've developed here have been such a blessing in my life, and I am so grateful to this ministry and what God is doing here. A few years ago, a friend of mine from Rolling Hills took my story and filmed a trailer for it in hopes of turning it into a feature film someday. It's been some years now, and I honestly don't know what God's plans are for this movie. I know that he's used this trailer in the past to bring comfort to those who have lost children through either abortion, miscarriage, or some other way, and my hope and prayer is that women who have had abortions will know how much God loves them and that there is hope and healing for them. The title of the trailer is Beautiful Hurricane, based on the mission trip I went on in Mississippi and how God brought life to me through the devastation of a hurricane. The clip is based on the vision I had of my son, and the letter is the actual letter that I wrote to him, excuse me, the day God gave me the vision. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Thank you.